here at Vatican Radio are saddened by the news of the untimely death of the former president, vice chancellor of Bethlehem University, Brother Vincent Mallum. He was killed in a tragic car accident in the U.S. state of Louisiana last Friday. Brother Vincent was currently the president of Christian Brothers University in Memphis, Tennessee. He was 73. Brother Vincent ran Bethlehem University from 1997 to 2005, perhaps the most important Christian institute of higher education in the Middle East. Bethlehem University was established by the Vatican in 1973 in response to Pope Paul VI's desire to give Palestinians a university-level education. It is run by the Christian Brothers. Assistant to the Vice Chancellor, Brother Cyril Litecki, wrote that Brother Vincent was a gift to the Christian Brothers and to Bethlehem University. He describes Brother Vincent as an outstanding leader who was artistically gifted and who cared deeply for faculty, staff, and students. Brother Vincent, he says, was a man of vision, deeply committed to the mission of the university, and was able to adjust to many challenges and difficulties. Well, I will remember Brother Vincent's courage in facing the many challenges confronting the university and Bethlehem during the years he was there. In this interview we did together back in February of 2003, Brother Vincent was president of the university when Bethlehem found itself in the midst of a series of tight curfews imposed by Israel. The crackdown followed a 40-day siege at Easter time of the Church of the Nativity by Palestinian gunmen and Israeli troops. I asked Brother Vincent how the curfews were affecting the people of Bethlehem.
Curfew is house arrest. It's military lockdown, meaning that people are prisoners in their own houses or institutions and can't leave. So that's the reality that we've lived under. For example, in this sixth occupation of Bethlehem, since November the 22nd, we have been under full-day curfews for at least 30 of those days. That's 24 hours a day for one full month when you can't leave your house, and partially for 15 of those days. So that's a month and a half since November the 22nd that we've lived under this awful reality.
So tell us, for people who have never lived in a situation like that, what does that actually mean? What does a full-day curfew mean?
A full-day curfew really means is that you're a prisoner in your house for a full day. It means that a mother with two or three little children cannot leave her house, and is the children cannot leave their houses. It means that institutions such as the high schools, the grammar schools, and a university such as Bethlehem University cannot function, that we are closed down, and that the effort at educating these young Palestinians, which have a right to this, is just being thwarted once again. What it does, it makes any sense of liberty or freedom or the ability to plan your own lives, it makes this really very, very difficult, if not impossible. And so it means then that people have to rush home. They're scared to death. They're rushing around. It disrupts completely what you thought you would be able to do. So we believe, now this is just a conjecture, that it's just one of many tactics to impose this collective punishment on a people, and that is exactly what is happening. Our reasons are not given. You are just victims, and you must accept what is given to you. If you're given 3 hours a day of freedom, then you take it, and you're very happy to have it, because the day before you were under curfew for 24 hours. If I might give just a little human interest story, which I think is so poignant, it's so true, and it's very, very touching. Last Easter, when we had the long 40-day siege and of the Basilica of the Nativity, and when we opened up again, once that was over, the first day that we were in session, I walked around the campus trying to greet students and teachers and to welcome them back because it had been such a long time since I'd seen them. I ran across one of our teachers, a young teacher in our Faculty of Education, engaged her in conversation, and I saw that she was not very encouraged. So in the course of the conversation, I tried to encourage her, to tell her that, yes, this is terrible what we're living under, but that we will stick together and that there is hope for a better future and that the last thing that we must hold on to is hope. She looked at me very, very directly in the eyes with big, beautiful, brown, Palestinian eyes. I'll never forget her answer because it's so true. She said, "Brother, more and more we are being asked to hope for less and less." And that is so true.
It is true that the curfew restrictions in Bethlehem were lifted long ago, but now, 5 years later, the staff and students of the university have to deal with the daily hopelessness of a people who tell me they feel imprisoned by the Israeli security wall which towers around the little town, preventing those inside from leaving and allowing only pilgrims to enter freely. Well, when we spoke back in February 2003, the winds of war were blowing across the Middle East. Pope John Paul II was decrying a brewing war in Iraq as unjust and wrong.
An impending war in Iraq terrifies our people because we believe that there are just going to be very strong negative reactions over here to exacerbate an already terrible situation. So in terms of what can people hold on to, what can they hope for, what is appearing on the horizon that gives them hope, at the moment they really have very little to hope for, exactly what the young lady said. And with the strong support of the United States Congress for Israel, you know, we would hope that an international intervention, and especially an intervention from the United States government that could perhaps bring about a more authentic and hopeful process of moving toward some resolution of the problem, would be in the offing, but it really does not seem as though that's going to happen. My strong wish would be that there be a really bona fide, sincere effort at bringing the two parties together, insisting that Israel end the occupation, insisting that the Palestinians in turn then would not conduct violent actions and certainly not suicide bombings, but to be a more honest broker, because really it's the United States government that has the power, and I believe that has the responsibility to broker this peace.
Prophetic words, those from Brother Vincent Mallum back in 2003. Who knows? Will the powers that be take up this last-ditch belated effort for Mideast peace proposed by the outgoing President George Bush for a deal by year's end? Only time will tell.